All right, I'm excited about the experiment tonight, guys. It's going to be fun. So a couple things I just want to remind us. I guess big picture, of course, the kingdom of God, there's different analogies that we could use. We just talk about a kingdom. The nation's only going to be as strong as the state. The state's only going to be as strong as the city, right? In the kingdom of God, hey, there is the kingdom worldwide. Then there's local congregations. And then there's families within those local congregations. And there's individuals. And brethren, realistically, if the kingdom of God worldwide is going to function and be effective and carry out what God wants us to, the local congregation, we got to do our part. If the local congregation is going to be doing what we're supposed to be, being unified the way that God wants it to be, that needs to be happening in the family environment as well, right? And so individually, all of us have to be growing. You know that let's just make this really simple. Husband and wife, two people have to both be committed to do what God wants for it to work. So, you know, I'm asking that as we do this, run this opportunity for us all to step up and to do our part. And so as we break into groups, big picture, the goal is to give more opportunity for fellowship, to give more opportunity to have some more interpersonal relationships developed within the body of Christ, to us to get to process through individually and think about what the Scripture says, not just listen to a lecture. But one thing I'm going to warn against, okay, that the group leaders know, but I'm just going to make sure that we all understand this. This is not an I feel Bible study. Okay? I don't like a lot of these group studies that the denominations do, and it's, well, I feel this is what this means. The Bible says something. And words mean what they say. And no scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. And so this is not, you know, this is not to help you just be able to express all your feelings. Hey, feelings are real, and there's a place for them. And if you have some good, close, interpersonal relationships, then you can probably do some of that with your brethren, and they can help steer you through some of it. But this is an opportunity. We're committed to sound doctrine here. Okay? So I'm just asking everybody to be a willing participant in that in the right way. And be a little patient as we go through that, and you're welcome to give me or in the group leaders some feedback after the, you know, as we go along in this. So we're just kind of getting this started, so it's a little experimental. So be a little patient, please, with me, and as we figure this out. So tonight what I'm going to do, Nolan, you're going to have the group from your row up, except any group leaders, I want your families to go with you. You know what I'm saying? So Mike, Katya, and Zoe get to go to your group, okay? Matthew, like a guy, you know, if you're 18 and above, you can do, if you know, you're not obligated to go with your family anymore. You know what I'm saying? So, but if you're under 18, you need to stick with your family for this, okay? So, but Nolan, basically from you on up, and then Justin Bolton, if you and your kids want to join this one, that's where your family is. That's great. And then, so you got that. Nolan, I got from Will's row back. Kevin, I'm going to have you go from Josh and Ricky's row back. And Mike W., you got from here through John Marantzik's row. Okay? So Nolan, why don't you guys head to that back room there? And my group's staying here. We're moving up, guys. Mike, Kevin, you got that back one. If you go to that back room, the school room, and then Mike W., your front group, you guys are going to this back room. Okay? So, have some fun. Yep, they should be. We might have to be creative to get a few more where necessary, or have kids sit on the little ones, etc.
I guess you guys can use the stand, Mike, since we're not having two groups in here, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
Actually, it works better. So.
Perfect. Okay, great. Thanks. I shut this one off.
Yeah, you can shut that one off, and then that stand might be
gone. Okay, perfect. Thank you.
I think it's unreasonable. Let me know. That's feedback to give me. I definitely want that option. Okay, guys, I want us to. We're the one group that has set up all the chairs here. Okay, so.
circular here, and we'll...
Oh, thank you, Mr. Sutton. So we can kind of hear the group on it as this.
If I sit here, then I can.
Yeah, you won't distract us. That's work.
Really?
Yeah. We're family. We're not gonna.
Negative.
We need a few more chairs. You guys don't get to skip the circle. Nice try, Mrs. City. I know your trick. It just, yeah.
I'll try to figure this out a little better next time for our group. Cool. Good, everybody.
Are these groups, are they going to be every Wednesday night?
I think that's a good question. I think we'll do it 3 out of 4. Throughout the 4 weeks of the month is the plan. So, go ahead, pile in, guys. Pile in. Be friendly.
Will it be all us all the time?
Nope. We're gonna switch some of that around here probably as we go. So that we get some interactions and we learn to get along with people that we don't always easily like, which is great. Great. In the body of Christ, that's important because. The Lord does want us all to agree, doesn't He? Be of the same mind. Be no divisions among us. So this is an opportunity for us to work through this. Let's turn tonight, guys, to Matthew chapter 18. What series have we been working on here? The kingdom. Hey, I'm glad somebody in our group knows. And particularly lately, with the kingdom, we've been doing parables. Parables of the Kingdom. And in Matthew chapter 18, we're going to read verses 21 through 35. And Mike, I'm going to ask you to start and just everybody take one verse and we'll go all the way around. Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35.
Okay. Then Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him up to 7 times?
Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7.
For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves."
Let me read.
Please.
All right. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents.
But since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, along with his wife and children, all that he had, and repayment to be made.
So the slave fell to the ground, prostrated himself before him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and mercy and forgave him the debt.
So one thing I'm going to tell you, girls especially, people are listening online to us, so you have to. I know you're not used to this, but you can speak up.
But the slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and he seized him and began to choke him, saying, "Pay back what you owe."
So his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will repay you."
But he was unwilling and went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed.
So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their lord all that had happened.
Then his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, "O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all thy debt because thou desirest me.
Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?"
And his lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was done of him.
My heavenly Father, will you also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother
from your heart? So something that came up here that Leah just asked, you know, should I read? So in this setting, guys, this is a little smaller group setting, smaller family setting. The ladies are, you're welcome to have some questions and comments and jump in a little. You know, I ask that you would be, follow the general teaching of the scriptures about don't try to take over the class and that kind of stuff. But I think we're all good ladies and you do that. So, but please, you're welcome to chip in and comment, answer questions if you have questions. It's one of the advantages of a little smaller group too is hopefully you ladies can stay engaged and be participants in this. So let's just think about this big picture, guys. Tell me, anybody, can raise your hand. What's the main point of this parable? This isn't super complicated, but what's the main point? If there's one point in this parable, what is it, Brother Brown?
Be forgiving.
Be forgiving. Exactly. We'll talk in that. We'll go through that in a little bit of, we'll get into that a little bit more. So, big picture is be forgiving. Let's break it down as we work through this. What the introduction of this? How does this topic come about in the first place? Why does Jesus tell this parable in the first place? Anybody familiar with the context leading up to this? Mercedes.
He like talking about Peter was asking Jesus how many times that he should forgive his brother.
That's true, and that's the starting point of this, isn't it? What does anybody know? What was talked about right before that kind of led Peter down this question in his mind, Lorenzo?
Well, I was talking about the rank in the kingdom. Going over, obviously he's talking about discipline and prayer.
Yeah.
If your brother sins.
Particularly the immediate context that Jesus is talking about, if your brother sins, how are we supposed to handle that? And that's not the point tonight, but we just want to get a little context. Just say, if your brother sins, go and reprove him in private. If he listens to you, you've won your brother. Hey, that's a good way to handle things, isn't it? You know, think about it in the family. If I pick on Lids and Ann for a second, if Lydia and Annie are going at it, and one of them's wronged the other one, it's best if you can work that out among the two of you. And then if you can't work that out with the two of you, then you gotta bring in Mom. And if that still doesn't work, you got to bring in Dad, and you have to have a big family meeting, right? And that's kind of what Jesus is saying. If there's a principle, brother sins, go and prove him private. If he listens to you, you won your brother. And the goal is to win your brother. If he doesn't listen to you, then what? You got to take one or two more with you. And again, the goal is to win your brother. If he doesn't listen to that, then what do? Then you got to take it before the church. And the goal still would be what? To win your brother. Wow, this is really good. And then, if he doesn't listen to the church, then what happens?
He's
shunned. Let him be to you as a tax gather in a synod, right? And so this is the context. Jesus has just been teaching about this, and Peter has this question. Lord, how often? What was Peter's question, Mercedes?
How many times should I forgive?
How many times? How, if my brother sins against me, how many times am I going to let that happen and forgive him? Should I do it up to 7 times? Some of you might be familiar with another account and where Jesus had said 7 times a day. So maybe this is stuck in Peter's mind from that conversation. Peter thinks he's being pretty generous. But guys, if the truth be told, haven't we all kind of wondered that? I find it relatively easy to forgive somebody the first time. What's that saying? You know, burn me
once,
burn me once.
My fault.
Shame on you.
Shame on you.
Burn me twice, shame on me.
Burn me twice, shame on me.
Right.
You know, and there's some truth to that. You can't just frost somebody if they burned you. But that's twice. Peter thinks being pretty generous here, right? Up 7 times? I find it relatively easy. The first time, and maybe the second time, and the third time, I start seeing. Okay. And then the fourth time. 7 times is a lot. Now, just knowing people, I won't be surprised if Peter had somebody in mind. Could have even been one of his buddies in the 12. I'm about sick and tired of this guy. I've done it 6. 7 times? You guys ever let your mind kind of get going that way to somebody in the body of Christ? About had it up to here with them? Okay, one more time, Lord, one more time. But what's Jesus' response? How many times does he say, Kendra?
7 times 70.
Yeah, what is that? If you ever watched, what were those ones called? VeggieTales. You know the answer to this off the top of your head, right? What you got, Mercedes?
490 times.
490, right? That's a lot. The sad thing is some of us are probably so stubborn that we actually start the book and we're keeping track till we get to that 490. Yeah, exactly. 5, 10. Yes, I think we're missing the point. So, and then Jesus tells a parable to communicate this. You know, the kingdom of heaven. What is the kingdom of heaven?
Church.
Kingdom of heaven is the church. And as Jesus tells this, it's going to be pretty obvious because as he plays this out, okay, this isn't going to be what's happening. I'll say this, the kingdom of heaven scripture, I think, is the church on into heaven, right? But as this plays out, we're going to see once it's heaven, this stuff isn't going to be happening anymore. This is what's happening currently. Okay? And so so he starts with this parable. And a certain king wished to settle accounts with his slaves. Anything we can get from that line? What does that make you think of? King wished to settle accounts with his slaves. Nikki, you got any ideas? Help him out. Leah.
I mean, what they owed him, but it's interesting that they're servants already. Like, he owns them already.
Yeah, that's a good point. So, we're not talking about people in the world, are we? They're already his servants. So what are we talking about?
Us in Christ.
People in the church, us in Christ. Anybody remember
a verse that says something like that judgment begins with the household of God? Guys, the king's gonna settle accounts with every one of us.
Does it say the books shall be opened?
What
do
you say?
Books shall be opened.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, you read through the New Testament, God has even a way of giving us some initial accounting, doesn't he? So it's not going to be surprise on the day of judgment. Where's family? And so, you know, you have examples like Ananias and Sapphira. Those guys had a chance to get it right. They didn't do it. There was an accounting there. And there's a final accounting that's coming. But this king, and so he finds there's somebody who owes him 10,000 talents. My Bible has a note there in verse 24. Anybody else's Bible have a little note that tells you what 10,000 talents would be? Your Bible does, Kendra? What's it say?
A talent was worth more than 15 years' wages of labor.
Okay. One talent's worth more than 15 years' worth of labor.
Ooh.
Okay. My Bible, I didn't... Mine is a little different note, so I didn't do the math on that. I could do it. I don't feel like doing math tonight. Anybody else have a different note there? Bev?
About 10,000 in silver content, but worth much more in mine power.
I think. Is that 10 million?
Yes, 10 million.
10 million. 10 million in silver content, but worth much more in fiber. Guys, I was thinking about this. $10 million. A servant isn't going to make more than minimum wage, is he? I wouldn't expect a slave to make more than minimum wage. So let's say 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, a slave can make $30,000 a year. Okay, by our today's. That would take a person 333 years. If all of their money was going to that, no living expense, like everything, what's the point?
We owe God a lot.
You can't repay it. We owed every single one of us, this is true, we owed more than we could ever, ever pay back. It's a pretty good starting point, isn't it? Get your mind right about the rest of what Jesus is going to say. There can be a tendency for a little self-righteousness to creep in sometimes. I mean, you know, my parents became Christians before I was born. I was a pretty good guy. I didn't. Go with me to Luke chapter 7. Actually, when I was young, this passage bothered me a little bit. Another parable that Jesus tells here, verses 40 through 47. Talia, it's your turn. We got to boom it out here. Luke 7, beginning in verse 40. Everybody take a verse till we get through 47.
And Jesus answered him, "Son, I have something to say to you." And he replied, "Say it, teacher."
A moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50.
Nikki,
verse 42. When they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. So which of them will love him more?
Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one who he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have judged correctly."
And turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. She has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair."
I'm still catching up. Sorry, I was playing with
45?
Yeah.
You gave me no kiss, but since the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume.
46?
47?
47. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little.
The reason I bring this up, guys, is because when I was younger, I just think, man, this isn't fair. I'm not going to be able to love Jesus as much as some people do. Because I haven't been, I didn't sow all those wild oats. I didn't when I sure ascended, but relatively from the world's perspective, I was upright young man. So how? That just bothered me. How am I going to be able to, I don't want to not get to love Jesus as much as, and then one day it clicked in there. $10 million. 330 is the same amount. It's what Jesus is saying is this guy didn't understand. This Pharisee, he was self-righteous. He didn't realize, but he owed just as much. It's the distance from hell to heaven. Not one of us can pay that on our own. We know Jesus paid the price. And we're incredibly thankful for that. That back to Matthew chapter 18. Now, there's something with the slave's attitude in the first place that's good. The Lord commands him to be sold. He doesn't have the means to repay. And what's the slave's response when he tells him to, commands him to be sold? What's that initial response? Anybody remember off the top of their head?
Fell down.
Pardon me?
Fell down.
Fell down and said,
have mercy.
What'd you say?
Have mercy.
Have mercy. Like, this is the right initial response, isn't it? And guys, we're here because we all have been there. Lord, have mercy. Every one of us came to that spot where we recognize our absolute need for the, and we say we're willing to do whatever we can to pay this back. And the king said, you don't have to pay it back. Wipe that slate clean. Pretty amazing to think about, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Brett.
Well, I had an experience one time, and I found it really, really hard to forgive somebody for something, you know. And a good friend of mine said, hey, is it worth the price of hell for me to go to for not forgiving that individual? So that's been with me for ever since. And
that's the next part of this parable, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So there's two parts of it, and we'll come back to that, Brad. Because that's really good, because we see the end result of this guy who's not willing to forgive. It ain't worth it. But this guy, he has initial right response. And I think we've all had this initial right response. We won't be here tonight if we haven't had that. So I think it's important to acknowledge, the world, I guess the one thing I want to kind of stick this part, and then we'll get into the part that really applies to us, but the world tries to trivialize sin. The world tries to make it no big deal, because everybody does it. And this first part doesn't let you get away with that perspective. You're going to be working in the mines trying to pay this off. that the accruing interest is greater than you can pay. So it's forever. Sin's big deal. I know we all know that, but I want to remind us of that because we live in a world that really tries to minimize it. This debt is a big debt. And the King's willing to forgive. Christ did that for us. He paid. You know, this, it's not like he just, you know, is the Federal Reserve. Well, you know, the Federal Reserve, and he just goes in and he changes the, you know, changes the figures there, cranks out some more money, whatever. You know, the Federal Reserve does that, guys, but there's a day of reckoning that's coming from that, too. It's just it's the laws of economics. I don't want to go off on that too much, but they line up with spiritual laws. Sooner or later, somebody's going to pay. And this point, you know, sometimes we think about, well, the King, he just repaid it. He just said, okay, I forgive you. But we understand somebody paid for that. You don't just forgive that debt. You don't just write it off without somebody absorbing that cost. You think about it in your own household. You know, if you're going to let somebody live with you and they stay with you and what, you know, how much they eat and, you know, that you're absorbing that cost if you let them do that. There's a cost involved. And I know we don't have to hammer this, but I just want to make sure we're getting them. Jesus paid this price. No. He absorbed the cost. He paid it. Lorenzo.
I know this might go off a little bit, but I was thinking when you were talking about mercy, it made me think of 1 Peter 2. It said, once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Yes. And then it goes on to talk about, so the Gentiles, you know, they may see your good deeds. Mm-hmm. And then that made me think of, like, John, I think it's 13:35, said, love one another as I have loved you. So they may know that you're my disciples. Mm-hmm. So I just started thinking, like, if you're really showing forgiveness because God showed it first to us, then people are like, wow, that is a Christ quality.
Amen.
Attracted to that.
That's an excellent point, Lorenzo. When people, you know, we once were without mercy, but now we have received mercy, and that should impact our interaction with the Gentile world, even, shouldn't it? And, you know, like you said, John 13:35, we can go to 1 John, be loved because he first loved us, and we can, Luke 6, be merciful, as your Heavenly Father also is merciful. That is one of the great characteristics of our Heavenly Father. So thank you for, yeah, God was merciful. He has been to us. And I guess as we move on, this is going to be really important that we, and in our life, I don't just mean for tonight, it's in our life that we think about these things, because your mind can get really channeled in on what somebody else has done to you, what, you know, and you would never treat them this way, and you would never, and, you know, I know my mind's been down that path before. But the Lord says, wait a second. Let's put this in the right perspective. How much mercy was shown to you? Mercy means something you don't deserve. How much were we forgiven? Something we can never repay. So, what's the next point? And this is really the main point of this parable.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
We understand the beginning of it, where there's transgressions and forgiveness is difficult, and the reason for it. But could you give a few scriptures that lay out the process by which you get to the mercy part? In a difficult situation, even like Brad was talking about earlier, sometimes it's less, you reason in your mind, well, and you go through all the reasons scripturally, you make the matches. But sometimes it's more difficult than that. So what is the process that you actually use? Prayer and going, like, are there specific?
Sure. Yeah, there's a, yeah. You know, and we got 10 minutes left, so I'm just going to throw a few out there.
Okay.
Yes. 1 John chapter 5 talks about a brother who sins. And it you know, I personally think this is a good place to start, usually before the Matthew 18 proceedings. He committing a sin, not leading to death, you pray for him. Okay? So prayer is a place to start. And then there's one in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And it says, it talks about like brother going to court with a brother. And basically God says, this is ridiculous. He says, don't you know that you're going to judge the world? You mean you can't solve this in the church? No, take your stuff before ungodly, just look at our presidential candidates. You're going to ask those guys to give justice on a matter? Because that's what the world's like. That's what our officials are like. It's like, basically, this is my paraphrase. Are you kidding me? There isn't one wise man in the congregation that can sit down and sort out between brother? And then somewhere in their desk he says, why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be defrauded? So that's kind of the last part of this parable. And I just have to go back and think about that. What's the very worst thing that happens? You know, the very worst thing that can happen to me if I give in this manner and I forgive is going to be still pale in comparison to like what Judas did to Jesus. You know, so, I mean, there's a place, and we'll, you know, there's another side of this that we'll get to in some other parables. You know, the Lord doesn't ask us to be doormats. Doesn't ask us to, you know, there have to be some boundaries there, man. But far and away, if I'm going to err on one side, I'm going to err on the side of forgiveness because of how much I've been forgiven. And so I just have to process through that sometimes and come back and recognize how much the Lord's forgiven me. Yeah.
Just real quick, and I know you're trying to move on, but I was thinking this whole parable, in lieu of kind of what you were talking about, this is perspective, in that he draws who owes him the same as the servant owing him. Like, so the correlation of the sin against the king, you know, you have a debt, you can't pay, it's the same. We feel it when he's our brother against us.
Yes.
You know, God makes it real to us. Like, you might say, oh, I sinned against God, but it's not real until somebody sins against you, and then you actually understand the parable, like,
That's a really good point.
But he's in a greater magnification. You don't deal with it as much as he does, but just the mentality.
That's a really good point, yeah, because sometimes there can be a disconnect for us, and that's why, you know, God has things like, you can say you love God, but if you hate your brother, you're kidding yourself. But we have the tendency to think, okay, God's up there. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's all forgiving. He's all loving. And he doesn't really care. Yeah, he does. It hurts. It's real. And we get to connect that when somebody does that to us. So good. Very good point. Then the last part of this, we better get wrapping it up here. You know, verse 27, the Lord of that slave felt compassion, released him, forgave him the debt. Wow, that's beautiful. That slave went out, verse 28, and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And he seized him and began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe. That's between 3 and 4 months worth of wages. That's a lot. It's real. Like, we're not just talking about one day's wage. Those are the kind that we don't let us bother us too much. This is the real kind where you know this person wronged me. This person hurt me, and it wasn't just accidental. It was intentional, and, you know, this is real. So it's a sizable enough amount and I'm thankful in the parable, you know, it's not like just one of those things, just roll with it. It's like, ouch. And so this slave goes out and he finds that fellow slave and he says, pay back what you owe. And there's nothing inherently wrong with that, actually. The king was settling accounts with his slave. There's nothing inherently wrong with asking somebody to pay what they owe. If with the right attitude. But this guy who owed him, what'd you say?
Is that he was choking him.
Yeah. Choking him is not the right... He's starting wrong, isn't he? Thank you for bringing that to our attention. This isn't a, hey, let's chat. This is a coming in with a, you know... Hey, you ever been in meetings like that? Maybe you were the aggressor or somebody was the aggressor on you? Those don't usually end with the right resolution. Hey, this is where this starts, is the guy's wrong in the first place. The way he goes about it. But this, his fellow slave, he has the same response. He falls down, begins to entreat him. Hey, be patient with me, I'll only pay you. Exactly the same thing that this guy said to his king. Wouldn't you think something should connect? Sometimes I'm shocked at the human race, our ability to push to the side stuff we don't want to notice. I'm surprised at myself sometimes. I call it the mental gymnastics. The thing you do to... You don't want something to connect, you just can't see it when it's right in front of you. That's why guys, a little time in the Word every day, a little time in prayer every day. You can't... This will get your perspective right. You can't read this kind of stuff and think about it and not be changed by it. Would have been a good idea if the second slave would have been paying some attention when the king forgave him and understood the magnitude of that. Might have changed his response. Nope. Now the choking's done, now what's he do? Goes and throws him into prison. Now this isn't even a private matter anymore, is it? Everybody knows his name showed up in the newspaper. He got thrown in jail for this. This is where these things go when they're not handled right. Hey, did you know about... what they did to me? And they're gonna make it back. Or maybe it's more like, hey, just between us. Oh, hey, just between us. Oh, hey, did you see that newspaper? So-and-so, where they're at? However it plays out, you get the point. Not right, is it? And guess who told on him?
His fellow
slaves, because they're like, this isn't right. They're aware of what's been done, because the same's been done for every one of them. And they gotta let the king know. No, it's not that the king can't know on his own, but brother, God does hear our prayers, doesn't he? He hears the cries of his people. You can even think about some of the things Scripture says about obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who give an account. Like, there are certain brethren who, they give an account to the Lord for what goes on in the local congregation. Let them do this with joy and not with grief. But that would be unprofitable for you. Yeah, I'd say. When the king hears this, he's not happy about it. And even though he forgave it all, when this sort of behavior takes place, he's able to pull it back up, isn't he? Hey, come into my office. Do you remember? This is the way you're going to play? So, brother, in the body of Christ, there are some times when we get wrong. It's not right. Now, I'm not saying we just let people rampantly go and do wrong. There's some other scriptures to deal with that. But at a personal level, if you're harboring personal stuff, one of the schemes of Satan, the scripture says we're not ignorant of his schemes. One of those schemes is when there's not forgiveness in the body of Christ. Satan uses that to divide and destroy. So, okay, let's forgive. Do you think the Lord can work it out if that fellow slave really, really isn't right and is just flat out continuing? Do you think the king can make sure that guy ends up? Oh, you know what? I can tell you this. If that guy is really wrong and he's going to keep getting himself in debt, he's going to go and he's going to be choking his fellow slaves, trying to get back what he's going to end up there. So, Brad, you're right. Hell is not worth it. And the other side of this is, isn't hell bad enough for somebody? What do you want to add to that? The Lord's got this. So on your part, hey, let's forgive.